Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Hi, Jessica. How are you?
June!
I got ready for this podcast emotionally like a first date. I've missed you so much. I haven't spoken to you in two weeks. And to have a whole hour, and we have so much to cover.
Boy, do we ever. And I was actually thinking about this yesterday. Are we expected to do this every week? I mean, this is a tall order. And I'm not talking Earwolf, Cody. I'm not talking about like the contractual
delivering. I'm not talking about delivering episodes.
No, I'm not talking about deliverables here. Okay. But I am talking about.
By the way, we do owe 125.
We do or something actually, like yes, that. I'm very, quite
it's concerned. Like when they locked Rapunzel, not Rapunzel. Who spins the gold? Rumpelstiltskin. They're just like, listen, you got like all this straw. And like, if you don't do it, we're killing your dad. Like that's what it, in some ways, the order does feel like that.
It's more the sort of emotional work of like, oh, we're doing this. And by the way, no one asked us to do this.
No.
And no one said, I mean, I know we titled it The Deep Dive, but no one said that to us. Like, I can't recall anyone putting that on us.
No. And, you know, it was so interesting because, first of all, I want to say to the listeners, not the most recent, but the one before episode 5, where we showed up in a really raw, that was like sashimi raw. Do you know what I mean? That was like straight cut from the belly of the salmon raw, right? And I have never felt so received and seen and embraced and heard. And I feel emotional even just talking about it because, I didn't have the same. I was wondering what you felt like. And now you were in Hawaii on a vacation.
Yes, I was. Right?
And so I was trying to respect your boundaries. And I didn't respect your husband's. And I do want to make a public apology about that.
I didn't know that.
He got yelled at.
Multiple emails?
He got yelled at for being on the phone poolside by you. And it was me that was texting him. And then I said, quote, please don't tell her it's me. I'm scared
he didn't
of her.
And you should be. He didn't tell me it was you.
I was asking for some camera advice.
Okay.
And of course, he was immediately sending me 4,000 links. But anyway, I didn't get to you beforehand. And I didn't feel the same amount of sick that I normally feel.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of like we'd gone too far. It's like when you've gone off the cliff, there is no thinking about getting up. The only place is to go out.
Totally. I mean, it was interesting to receive it while in Hawaii, and I'm having the same experience as you, which is deep divers have been reaching out and offering themselves in such a way and responding with so much love. It's actually, I'm going to say this, it's hard to hold.
It is overwhelming and
it's
almost
overwhelming.
Like, well, because they are arriving with their most vulnerable selves. And these women and men are sharing these things with me. And I feel so privileged. But also what's so strange, these are perfect strangers. Now, I know you have boundaries, even physical boundaries with your friends. We're not allowed to touch you as much as we'd like. or get as close as we'd like.
Yeah. Again, I had to minimize your window on Zoom because it was too...
I know.
Too intense.
I know. And you know, when I write with Lennon, I have to be physically touching her. If we're on a couch, I need to be, and that's why you were upset by during that first time we all got together, because I believe I was touching Danielle. If I'm near you, I need to be physically touching you.
That's so close.
It's so close.
Yeah.
But and that's the thing, like when, and I do feel that there's, and not to offend you, but there are certain people I feel that with. Like when I go out to dinner with Paul, I would actually prefer us to sit together if there's a booth situation.
I love that.
I prefer us to sit together than sit across and just sit side by side. And he's like, this is so strange.
Yeah. I look at those couples and I'm like, that's intimacy. And I want even more of that. But with my girlfriends, I'm much more like, I need to climb over you, be on you, touch. You know, Lindsay Sloan, who we have on, I think we maybe talk about it, but within 24 hours of meeting her, I guess I reached out and touched her hair. And somebody said, Kyle said, what are you doing? And I said, it was so soft and beautiful. I wanted to touch it.
Sure.
But if you're not scared away by that, then you are for me. Do you understand?
Totally. Listen, I was kind of shocked. Jessica, you and I both received an email from a girlfriend, and she will remain nameless, but
I was just about to bring this up, and I asked her if it was okay if we talked about it.
And what did she say?
She said 1,000%.
So she wrote a group email that essentially said this pandemic has been really hard on her, and she was sure it's been hard on all of us, but that for her, there was this pervasive feeling of loneliness, and it made her realize that she needs to reach out more.
Right. And so she then goes on, to ask in this really beautiful, vulnerable way, just simply, so does anyone want to get together, you know, mm-hmm. for a hike or a coffee, or like, would people feel comfortable gathering for a cocktail at my house? And it was so refreshing and also like so moving. People immediately are writing back, of course, we would love that, you know?
There is a chorus of courses.
Right. There is like a movement of vulnerability going on that it just is bringing everyone up to their highest selves. And
I have to remember that because honestly, Jessica, when I got that email, I was so, it's interesting. It's sort of like that feeling, and I might have talked about this before, of when you're in a classroom and the class is in session, and someone walks in late in the front mm-hmm. of the room, and mm-hmm. you look up and you see them, and you watch them walk and you go back to your thing. When you're the person who's walking in late and you open that door and all eyes turn and stare at you, mm-hmm. it's such a crazy feeling. Mm-hmm. And when I received that email, I was like, wow. I am so glad she did that, because what happens is not only does she open up space for herself, what I think she did was open up space for the rest of us too. When I saw her do that, it made me think, God, when I'm overwhelmed and depressed, Jess, I completely isolate.
Do you really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you go inward, and I text every single person, as you know, on the chain. I'm in trouble. I'm in almost a desperate way. I will be honest. The other side isn't good either, because that's saying, I can't handle this. I need someone else to carry this for me. Now, what you're saying is what? No one can help me. Only I can help me. I don't want to share this ugly side with somebody. What? I don't want to burden them.
I feel that. And this isn't always, like when I was in Canada, and I have to look up the text, but I did a 2-week quarantine alone with the kids. And that was a shocking experience. And there was a lot of trauma around it because our wonderful nanny, Juliana, was turned around at the border. Correct. And
you had no childcare.
I was planning on preparing for the movie during those 2 weeks while Juliana was with us in quarantine, and then I didn't have her. It was really overwhelming. I knew I had to find childcare while in Canada. I was planning, and I'd rehearsed that if the kids didn't get across the border, I would send them, and Juliana didn't, I would send them back to be away from my children for 3 months. That was the plan, and
sorry.
We rehearsed it. We rehearsed it, and Paul played the border agent, and we did run-throughs, like emotional run-throughs. And I told the kids, like, hey, if I'm crying, I'm acting. I'm trying to get
sick.
You all through. It was actually quite traumatizing. And then it happened. The worst happened, which was she couldn't get in because she didn't have the work visa. And I called Paul. It was Valentine's Day, and I was hysterical. And I said, I don't know what to do. And he said, keep the kids and we'll figure it out. And because he knew that emotionally, even though I would be overwhelmed with my work situation with the children,
finding a new nanny. Yeah.
Yes, all of those things were true. Also had to find a new Airbnb. But all of those things were true, but I couldn't exist without them.
Oh, you know, for 3 months, that's taking your water away.
I couldn't. Yeah. And there's no coming back to LA. It's like once you're in Canada, you're in Canada.
These are war times, man.
Totally.
This is put your kids on a train
sure.
with a little Paddington label
for
that
sure.
says, please take care of my bear.
Yes, it was so intense. And I'm, you know, hysterical in the office. And it was one of those things, and we talked a little bit about it, like playing out grief and I had prepared Juliana, like, I'm going to probably have to start crying and doing a kind of not without my daughter type monologue
Which, to be honest, you've been preparing for your whole life.
My whole life. And so I was doing that. And she was like, was that acting or was that really happening? And I was like, honestly, who's to say?
Yeah.
Like, who's to say?
Yeah.
I was aware that I needed to go there in public, a public setting. But
you were in control of it, but the feelings were real.
But the feelings were also there. It's like, I didn't quite know. Reality was blurred. All of this is to say, when I showed up at that Airbnb that night and had like no food in the house, you know, nothing ready. And I was like,
and nobody to come with you. You couldn't go, hey, can someone run to the store? You have no, what are you going to do? Pack your children up and bring them to a Walmart?
No. And they're
do they even have Walmart in Canada?
No, they're also very upset about what's just happened too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they're away from their dad for 3 months. Like all of it was so shocking. And I couldn't speak about it to anyone. I had to go to, and maybe this is the Capricorn in me, I don't know, but I had to, the energy I had, if I were to open up and say, it was survival, and say, like, this is what just happened.
Yes.
I actually couldn't. Like, my good, dear friend, Michaela, didn't know. And she's like one of my dearest mom friends. Our kids are the same age and all best friends. And she didn't know for a week that Juliana wasn't there with me. Cause I was because I couldn't say it. I was still in trauma and shock from what had just happened. Now, eventually I did reach out to like Casey and Kulop and Matt. And I said, I'm struggling here.
Yeah.
This is one.
Yeah.
And I was honest. I said, this is one of the hardest things I've ever done. In terms of just like laboring in the world.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. The day to day, the breakfast,
day-to-day.
The lunches, the dinners, it was hard work now. And it's interesting. I wonder because you're not saying to them, can you guys help me? Can you tell me what to do? It's like you knew what had to be done, but you wanted to give a heads up to the people who love me. I'm struggling. Then they can do whatever they want to do with that. Right. But it's like just them knowing is enough.
Yes, but it took me a while to get there. Like I needed to, my process was like, I actually need to put my head down through this. Because if I come up, I'm not sure I'll be able to do it. And even if I acknowledge
it. I totally understand.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
So going back to our dear friend's email, like it honestly inspired me. And I was like, wow, I this is so brave, and also as the person receiving it, I'm not sitting here like, oh, like I'm sitting here, man. I'm so glad you did this.
Everybody was.
That's right. I'd love to get a drink with this group. Like, I'm just so glad you did this.
Also, she really puts out a spread. And you know I like a spread.
Of course you do.
And you she sets up a house that's a lot like, you feel like you're in the lobby of a very fancy hotel.
Yep.
Effortlessly.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's an open kitchen plan, but there's also, there's lots of couches, both indoors and outdoors. And so I'm really interested to see what kind of spread.
I hope, see, I said, I hope I wrote it in my response. I do hope we go to her house.
Well, I think that's assumed. I'll make sure that happens.
Yeah, I'm not going hiking.
Don't you worry.
I'm not sitting at a coffee shop.
I'll get us an invite into that house. See, it's interesting too, because it's a gift. We talked about that in the episode five, but it's a gift when somebody asks for help. See, I get upset when somebody doesn't ask for help. I feel like they're saying we're not that close. And when they ask for help, it's my pleasure, because also everybody did so much for me. To give back feels like a gift.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes people are like, I don't want to burden people. No, the people who truly love you, that they, it's exciting for them to be able to do it for you.
For sure.
I also do want to just flag in the way that you flag to your friends. I'm in a place of dissociating that is involving a bi-weekly trip. Now I'm going to tell you where I'm going. And now, you know what's a bummer is I have let my therapist listen to this. I'm letting Dan listen to this. And now everyone's going to know where I've been.
Because I'm interested in the fact that that happened this week and you were at TJ Maxx yesterday, because you flagged for me early on in this week when we were listening to Heidi's episode, like, basically, like, I'm out. Like, I'm going to be there for the recording, but this week is crazy. And I'm like, I guess she's shooting something. Like, she's going into 16 or 18-hour work days. And then I receive a text from you like, sorry, I'm running late. I was at TJ Maxx. I'm like, oh.
Listen, I do have that much to do.
I thought you were on the Sony lot.
Okay, when things get tough, the tough get going to TJ Maxx Home Goods. When I find myself in the TJ Maxx Home Goods that is two blocks from LAX.
Wait, are you saying, I cannot believe you're going to that one. Are you saying that TJ Maxx and Home Goods is like a, it's like a Taco Bell Pizza Hut situation? They're together?
That's right. Sometimes they have it upstairs and downstairs in the place where I'm talking about on West Jefferson. There, if you are lucky enough to find what is a unicorn diamond in the rough, which is just a TJ Maxx Home Goods, you in business, baby. And everybody has their place. Now, Lennon, who will come on, is Target is her place. She calls it her church, which is, I guess, offensive to those people who are religious. But she goes on a Sunday, and I went once with her. And actually, I think I really annoyed her because I was never asked to come back, because I said, why are we going so slow? Can we please? And she goes, no. We have to touch the merchandise.
Absolutely.
I said, are we in the market for stationery? She said,
No matter.
But I got to see what they're rolling out for the holidays, you know, and that's every day there's something new there. Now, TJ Maxx,
I'm more of a Target person.
Target for me is I'm paying full price.
Well, so that's the difference, Jess. So I'm not heading into, I don't cross the threshold of Target without spending $400.
That's right. I'm getting out with $100 flat. But what am I getting? Like, let's say what I got yesterday. Okay. But really the point is, and I don't want you to miss this thread, I am disassociating. No, I am escaping from my life, and I need to like really get right on that. Okay. And what's interesting is the mental chatter, which is there's something in DBT called dialectical behavior therapy, which is called your wise mind. Okay. So for people who have a hard time regulating their emotions or even understanding what they are, they sometimes don't, there is a voice inside of you. It's you that says, hey, don't drive to TJ Maxx Home Goods. Don't do it. That's unhealthy. Don't do it. And I'll go, and but then your other voice goes, no, I need to. I need a salad spinner. So okay. I'll eat more salad. Now, did I get it? I got one.
Okay.
I also got 4 serving trays from Portugal, a couple water bottles, and like 10 journals, 2 Euro pillows.
It's like I can't draw a line. Yeah.
No, and you can't. And so
and
anyway,
you won't be able to.
The TJ Maxx Home Goods, yeah. It and you know I was the Marshall spokesperson, and that is also, you know, embarrassing. Like no one would recognize me necessarily because when I'm in there, I'm in my pajamas. Like that is a day where I haven't even put on a bra, and because my nipples are always erect. Because they, when you get a mastectomy, they remain erect. Like,
does that hurt, Jess, against clothing?
No, because you don't, a lot of times don't have any feeling
feel
anymore
it. In them. Okay.
But you know how like Jennifer Aniston is always going braless?
Yes.
And you can always see her nipples.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be at a place where I'm like supporting that, but it's very distracting. It's distracting. Okay. That's where I'm at.
I love that look. And you know, I tried to get you in that look on Grace and Frankie. Like, I love a braless look. I love seeing a little nipple. I love it. I think that's, to me, that's so sexy.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, that's a real, like, especially in New York City. I remember when it, like, the first warm day, everyone's taking those titties out just in a white tank.
I love a little side boob. I love it. Like, to me, see, you preferred more of like a Barbie doll. Like, we don't have nipples, like flat.
That's right. That's right.
Interesting.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, but I digress. So, yeah, I was afraid because I keep it secret from everybody. I was afraid, like, when we were interviewing Lennon yesterday and it was 2:30. I'm online at TJ Maxx. I also bought a bunch of gift bags. You never can have too many gift bags. And a bunch of tissue paper. Like, what am I doing?
Wow.
I guess
we do need these things or like these things.
You don't.
It's funny because I don't have a shopping experience where I'm thinking ahead. And that's what I'm curious about with you. Like, I'm not shopping for a different time. I'm always shopping for like what I need today or this weekend.
I think that's appropriate.
But I wanted to talk about, this does have to do with systems, like our experiences of being late, because to me, it brings up a lot for me it's funny, like I don't care when other people are late or running behind. And I think like you said yesterday, because I was overscheduled yesterday and I had to do a cast physical for Grace and Frankie and they were an hour behind.
Of course, as they always are. Yeah.
They always are. But like I scheduled it so I'd be right there doing the physical and then leaving. They were a full hour behind. And I was like, there's no way I'm getting back to the house but 2:30. It's 2:00 and I'm in the waiting room. Like there's just no way. But putting people out and making people wait for me creates such anxiety in me. And I'm like,
I'm so sorry. I'm like, don't worry about it. First of all, I'm online at TJ Maxx Home Goods, but like, I'm like, don't, and like, there ain't no time I'm getting through that line anytime soon. But also I'm like,
and leaving that line is not an option.
As when you've made that kind of commitment and you found the salad spinner, they don't always have salad spinners. They don't. They're a big item.
And I know we're all over the place. We gotta go back to TJ Maxx for another second.
Who cares about TJ Maxx?
I want to say one thing. Like TJ Maxx to me and Home Goods. Now I found some things there. I'm not gonna say I haven't. The experience of being in there is so chaotic to me.
It feels like in my own mind.
Why I like a Target.
I feel at home. And what I also love, and Casey Wilson understands this. In fact, I almost texted her. What I love is someone else gets a treasure and you go, oh, good find. I love to chat with strangers. That's one of the big hardest part of the pandemic has been small talk. The only other people who suffer from the deprivation of this is Casey. We love to strike up And always
a little
when they're
bit of conversation.
Yeah, and I go, "Ooh, where'd you get that?" And they're like, "Over an aisle, you know, there's more of them," or "Ooh, there's only one, and that's exciting." And so we get to really get in there, and it's a real cross section in that because it's nearly X.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I don't really do small talk except when I'm on vacation.
Okay.
And Paul was like, "Who are you?" Because we were on vacation and I'm chatting with this one and that one. We sit in the hot tub. I'm like, "Where are you all from?"
Everyone has a story.
Yes, everyone has a story. And I'm so curious how we all landed here. Every waiter, every bellman, every person I have a curiosity about that not that I don't have in the other world, but where when I'm like out in the world, I feel like I'm protecting myself and just kind of driving through and honestly terrified that people will speak to me.
The
doorbell
me,
rings in my house and I'm like, close all the blinds.
Yes, right.
I'm peeking out. I was terrified about who's there.
Now, Paul is a talker, right? To strangers?
So this is what's interesting. Like, yes and no. When we're on vacation, he's surprised that I'm like, he wants to go inward and just sort of insulate with the family and just be us. And I'm like, maybe we should have dinner with that couple over there.
Oh,
let's see what's available. You know?
We have a friend whose husband, you know, her husband right now, before he was with her, went to Hawaii with a girlfriend and a couple they met in the hot tub was so lovely. This is before kids. And they were like, "Oh my God, these guys are so fun." And I think you know where this is going. Do you know where this is going?
No, I don't.
Okay. After about 4 days of renting Jeeps together and meeting up at the breakfast buffet and having a blast and really being like, "These are fun people." They said, "We're running late. Meet us in our room." Do you now know where this is going?
Oh my God.
Okay.
Oh my God.
And they got into the room and one of them was sitting on a chaise lounge and the other one was in the bathroom. And she's give us a second. We're just getting ready. And the other one goes into the bathroom and now they're alone in the room and they both looked at each other and they knew immediately that they were going to be asked to have sex with them. And so they left. They ran out of the room.
Of course.
It was a long con to get to that. And then they had to spend the remaining 3 days avoiding
these people
at the omelet bar. They had to go in
the general store getting sundries.
They had to spirit their omelets up to their roof and live in abject terror.
Yep. And that, okay, so by the way, I think that's why Paul gets so terrified that I'm willing, again, only in certain circumstances, like airplanes and vacation resort areas that I'm willing.
Airplanes. You can't get away? Yep.
That's his whole point. Like, we're stuck. Like, if it doesn't go well, we're
Dan
stuck
would be
here.
Dan but would
oddly,
be horrified.
That's where I choose to, like, just see what's happening with the people of the world.
Dead best friend's mom, who is just everything about somebody who loves people. I mean, she just loves life, but she loves to go to Vegas and she loves to ask people on the slot machine next to them, like, "Hey, what brought you here?" Because she's like, places like Vegas, Hawaii is another one. Mm-hmm. Anytime you're as far west as you can go, you're running from something sometimes. And I'm interested what that is and what's that reinvention. Anyway, I don't want to belabor it, but to say I'm disassociating. The reason why is I have to go in and have my 4-month checkup today with my oncologist.
Today.
Next week, Dan has a big checkup. And so, but you know what's amazing about dissociating? It's so wonderful because while you're busy at the grab bag that is TJ Maxx, you're not thinking about it. So and often I find myself at the TJ Maxx and I have to go, "Wait, why am I here?" And that's because of this. Yes. So it wasn't until this morning I sat down and I'm like, "Why did I go?" Because Dan goes, "Why are there so many dishes in the sink? I thought you did the dishes." And I said, "Well, that's some dishes I found at TJ Maxx." To which he said, "What the fuck are you doing? First of all, I didn't know you were there. And secondly, we're leaving for 4 months. We're going to London. Why are you at TJ Maxx?" I'm like, "Exactly. That's why we're going.
That's exactly why I'm there." Yep.
He'll never understand.
Listen, I think dissociating gets a bad rap because there are times, and it sounds like with the checkups that are coming up, which I'm sure will be fine, but like there are times in life where you need time to go by. You actually need, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You need, like, I remember when I came back to LA after my mom died, I can't even explain what I was doing. There's no explanation for what those months and really that first year was.
Sure.
But there was, I needed the sun to come down at the end of the day. I really needed the sun to set.
That's
and
right.
I needed the day to be over.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was very comforting to me to know the world had stopped and people were going to bed.
See, most of the time, the nighttime is when brings on the anxiety. That's really interesting because when I was in treatment, the nighttime was when everyone was on alert that if I started Googling, you know, there would be a chain and then somebody would text me and say, tell me what you're Googling so I can do it for you. The nighttime was the scary time. But for you, it's the time you feel safe.
I felt during that time, there were other times in my life where it wasn't that way. Like, absolutely. But during that time, for whatever reason, I was very disturbed that the world was continuing to move on and that people were going to work. And I remember just seeing the world move forward was so upsetting to me. And so knowing the world had stopped and people were stopped was comforting.
Oh, that's really interesting.
I remember watching every episode of My Life on the D-List. And it's when I got into Housewives, too. Like, I needed just time under my belt so that a new layer of acceptance and reality could set in. And sometimes new layers of grief that were very hard. But you cannot rush that process. There is no way to fast track it. There's no way to.
Well, you're so, like a pupa. You're like a little pupa of trying to create your exoskeleton. And you don't want to go out too soon or else someone's going to step on you.
Yep.
Yeah, so or you'll dry up in the sun.
Something to be said. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There's something to be said for getting days under your belt, like a fucking prisoner, and for getting time behind you. So that you can sit not in the reality every second, but watching TV, you know, walking through a TJ Maxx, like doing things that are time consuming because someone's been robbed of time, because you're in shock and shock needs time to melt off your body. There's no way it's going to happen without time behind you.
Right.
So I really feel like people give dissociation a really bad reputation. I don't think it always deserves it. I really don't.
No, I think I think you're right. I wish it was like I have a gigantic mound of laundry and I wish I could dissociate that way. But see that I'll be sitting there thinking about all the bad things then, you know,
I wish
I could dissociate doing Pilates.
Yeah, you know? No, that's not going to happen.
So, yeah. And I think I was reminded of you saying that you have a hard time saying that you like are so happy with your life, because I have some really exciting things coming up, like a 3-week trip to New Hampshire to see my family. But more watching Bebe run around maskless because there is no COVID there really in the town. I think they had one case the entire time, letting her be a kid where I was my happiest, you know, this summer, and then going to London, which was such a joyful experience. But the other thing, and we may have to do a whole new another episode on this, but I want to talk about revisiting past places, whether it's childhood places that you were happy or a place like London, but being afraid that you can't recreate that happiness, knowing actually it will be different. And how do you accept that? That's one part. But I'm always afraid that the rug's going to get pulled out from under me. And even though I go about my life and like most of the time I push it down, it's like in the lead up to these, you know, scans or checkups, I know what it's like to have everything change. So I live in denial of that most of the time, except for those weeks. Now, it used to be a month before it, I used to start freaking out. Now it's like, okay, it's today I woke up and remembered, oh God, I got to go to that appointment, you know? But I think that's a really hard, that's a hard one to be excited and to realize or try to remind yourself that most likely it won't be ripped away. Practicing for it doesn't help.
Nope.
But also having like a lot of empathy for yourself that you may just act insane for the next week, you know?
And I also think that Casey's really helped me with this, that sometimes we look at happiness and joy like it's one thing, you know, what like it's one feeling and emotion. And in a similar way to like, we don't have that expectation necessarily for grief or sadness. Like, I mean, even in the throes of grief and horror with being in hospital rooms, like there were some of the best belly laughs I've ever had.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was just sort of fucking crazy. And there's beauty and joy in that. But when we look at joy and happy experiences and love, it's very hard. I think we're very hard on ourselves in accepting that the shadow feeling will come in. And
yeah,
that we will also fear will come in, and that we will, as soon as we let ourselves feel that joy, we will immediately go to the other feeling, which is it's going to get ripped away. I'm going to lose. I'm not going to have this. This is too scary. And what Casey has helped me with is just sort of saying like, oh, there's that.
Right.
There's that feeling.
Like almost expecting it in a way like, oh, yeah. Hey, friend.
There you are, old friend.
There
yes,
you are.
There's that
okay,
thought.
Makes sense. Makes sense. You validate
I
yourself.
I was expecting you.
Makes yep. sense that I'm feeling this way, but it doesn't mean you're going to take away the joy. It means that you're
right.
just here almost like watching.
Exactly. Now, I will say, I'm so relating to what you're saying, because the night before we went to Hawaii, and again, this was a trip I planned while I was in the hell of Canada. Like,
yeah.
this was for me.
Oh, I love, and what a great idea.
Yes.
My other friend who's in total SOS mode, I texted her husband. I'm like, here's a travel agent. Where are you going? I
yes.
want you looking forward.
And it was the best thing I could do. And I was
oh,
like,
I, love
I can't believe I put
then.
My family through this for my dreams and my professional pursuits.
That's money.
Like I was,
honey,
I
that's
was
your job.
So I know, but I
that's
was in such
job.
A dark place of like what I was doing to our family.
I understand.
Taking this job. And I was just like, oh my fucking God, everybody's miserable. And that's when I planned this trip. We were all so excited about it. And the night before, Jessica, I forgot to set my alarm for the airport.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Like, huh? What?
Yes.
I had an Excel document.
I know
for the
you
kids
did.
Packing list and my own.
Everything's in the Eagle
the
Creek.
Stuff.
You know, all of the
yes.
underwear is in one satchel, so you can just grab and go. And yet you
set
forgot
an alarm?
To set the alarm.
Not only did I not do that, but I got so stoned the night before because I was like, I gotta get to sleep because June, you're getting up before I. I take two fucking gummies and I'm like, I just didn't set an alarm.
Okay. So what happened?
You,
was it like Home Alone?
Frantic.
The beginning of Home Alone?
Yes.
Everybody's
it
running
was
about.
Insane. Paul and I are screaming at each other.
Oh,
he's like,
yeah.
I'm like, why did you wake me up? He's like, I don't know what time the flights are. And I'm like, because
oh.
I do. Like, I,
oh.
you know, it was so crazy. And I'm like, wow, June, like you did all that and not the one thing.
No, she didn't.
Not the first thing.
I understand
like, wow,
it though. I understand
wow,
it because
wow,
you were
wow,
like,
wow.
this can't, something bad's going to happen. And then unconsciously you caused it. Just
yes.
that. But then you got there and you were able to reset and
absolutely.
Have a wonderful time.
Now, when that big blood moon or new moon or whatever that fucking moon was
yeah.
hit, please know that I woke up that night with Matt. Now, that day I said to Paul, I've never been so happy. Like,
oh.
the kids are out of diapers. We are now, and I have to say, parents who have newborns who are listening and young kids, like, I know you're enjoying some of it, but God, it's so fucking hard. It's just so
well, I was just thinking
hard.
About Jude when the sun goes down. That was in the newborn phase.
Ooh,
I would get
that was horrible.
Panic! I would start like rocking back and forth, like the night's coming. And if you're breastfeeding, very often that is the one lonely night, my friend.
Yes.
Because it is just you and this child. Yeah. So, but now that's lifted, that the sun is out. You also don't feel bad. I remember going to hotels and going, why am I spending this fucking money? So the three of us can be trapped in this room and not sleep.
Yep.
Like, and I'm paying for the privilege of this.
Yes, I'm paying good money also be like racing back for naps.
Don't ever go anywhere until they're like 4 years old. Just stay the fuck home.
Not go anywhere. So our kids are over four now. One's almost turning five. The other one's seven. And it is, I have to say, it's the first trip we took where I'm like, I like this experience.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it's more work than not.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I'm enjoying our family time in a way, and that I'm a mom who I like being able to talk to the kids. I like being able to, the baby stuff was very hard for me.
Yeah.
Very, very hard.
Yeah.
And
me too.
Even the toddler experience, like all of that madness, you don't know how crazy it is until you're out of it. But I just want to say to the parents who have small children, like, God, does it get fucking better? Oh my God.
And can you imagine it during the pandemic having that age? Although I would argue every single age was hard. Every single age was hard.
I think you're right, but I don't know. I was just so enjoying where the kids were and where we were as a family and like our family time. And I said to Paul, like, God, we got through it. We got through that really difficult, those difficult years with kids.
And the pandemic. I mean, I know obviously it's not over, but we survived.
And
then you are appreciating being on vacation in a way you've never appreciated it before.
Totally. And then don't you know, that night I wake up at 1 a.m. and in a panic.
In a cold sweat or hot sweat, depending on where you are in perimenopause. Yeah.
Yes. A panic. Yeah. Spiraling. There's going to be a tsunami. Like, prepare. You haven't made the most of your time with your kids. Like, you should never have been working this much when you had small children. Like, those years are never coming back. Like, all of the
there
all
she
of the
is
thoughts, Jessica. And I was like,
there she is. Hello, old friend.
Wow. And I had to wake Paul up. And I go, I'm having so much anxiety. He's like, huh? Like, you literally were like, this is the best time of my life, not hours ago.
But that's exactly why it came. Now, were you aware enough to go, this is why, or were you just in it? Because I think it's very hard to have that knowledge when you're in it.
I was in it. And the next day, though, when I realized that crazy moon hit, I was like a little bit easier on myself. That's why I'm so glad we had Heidi Rose on. Because, you know, and I know, sir, I saw some tweets of people like, I'm not listening. This is about astrology. Like, don't listen. It's fine.
But I blocked all those people.
Good. What I appreciate about the moon and cycles and all of that is the acknowledgement of like, not every feeling is a whole lifetime. And not every moment means you'll be in that moment forever.
Oh, God, June, I just had chills because, yes, if you can say to yourself, this is a cycle. I remember my meditation teacher, Lynn Kaplan, who I hope to have on. She said, I remember when we were shooting Playing House, there were some really hard things. And I had a newborn and I wrote to her and said, I'm doing my dream job. And yet there's so much hard stuff and I'm exhausted. And she said, where there is light, there is always dark. Mm-hmm. That's nature. It has to be. It can't be all light. And so I always, and then the other thing she says, and then I just want to share one more little thing. What are we at? An hour and a half? Hour and 15?
We're are we less okay? than an hour.
Oh, thank God. Okay. So much more that we need to say to each other. But okay. Thank you, Jordan. And sorry for being late. What I was saying, she also says that her teacher, always said, when the hurricane comes, sit down. And that got me through the most insane time of my life when I was sick and then Dan got sick. And then I thought everybody was nobody was safe. And when the hurricane comes, sit down. And it's the opposite of what you want to do. You want to go to a TJ Maxx, Home Goods and keep moving. But if you can sit, that's where the feelings will come up. You know, that's where you'll actually notice what you're feeling and then be able to use your prefrontal cortex to say, this is why it's okay. Right. Makes sense.
And I think, you know, the Shanta Valdez, who's our community, our chief community engagement officer at the Jane Club, always says this. And I don't know if she's citing somebody else, but she says something that has really helped me. And Casey has reminded me of this too, which is, this is the moment I find myself in.
That's right. Things are as they should be, which sounds crazy. This is the moment. That's radical acceptance. This is the moment. I wanted to share one other thing about our friend who reached out. She reached out
to me. Can't believe we didn't respond to that text. Yes.
Okay, so what happened was we were at a Christmas party and I must have been, God, was I in the middle of it? How could I have been in the middle of it at a Christmas party? That sounds like me. She came over to me and said, I need to connect you with my sister-in-law. She has had breast cancer not once, but twice. And I want you to talk to her. And I said, thank you. And then she followed up. Now, again, that's what I love about women. They're like, I have a resource. I need you to have it. Yeah. So one night on a Saturday at 10 p.m., I was so depressed. I was like in tears and I would walk my elderly schnauzer around the neighborhood, like just walk and cry, because I couldn't do it at home. And I call this woman. I mean, literally when I tell you it was like 9:15 at night, mm-hmm. I'm calling a stranger and she picks up. And I start talking to her about her life. And she said, yeah, she got breast cancer once. And that made her decide to adopt in her 40s a son and who was then, I guess, 9 or 10 and was in the room reading a Star Wars book. And she said, and then I got breast cancer again while I'm a mother, a single mother. And that was wild. And I got through that. And I said to her, here's the deal. I don't think I will ever not be sad or scared. I think that every single day of my life from here on in, I'm going to feel these things. And she said, I'm going to tell you something that's going to rock you and you're not going to believe me. And I was like, okay, I'm talking to a stranger sobbing. Meanwhile, my schnauzer's like, can we wrap this up? Like, I have hip dysplasia. Like, I need to get home. You have now done 20,000 steps at 10 p.m. She goes, when this is all over, you are going to be happier than you were before. And I said, that cannot be true. I literally, it's not true. And she said, I promise you, you're going to be in traffic. It is not going to bother you. You're going to have something bad happen at work. You won't give a shit. Somebody's going to hurt your feelings. You'll get over it faster. Like you're going to live a better life. Mm-hmm. It's true. And she was right.
It's true.
She was fucking right. And I'm just curious if everybody post-pandemic is going to feel a little bit of that. They're going to be a little happier. Maybe not right away.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Well, I mean, I, having just come back from a resort for 6 days, like people seemed pretty happy. Mm-hmm. I did notice that the vibrations were really high.
Yeah.
Really high. And the week before that, I don't even think we talked about the weekend I had with Cool Up for her birthday at Palm Springs.
Oh.
But vibrations that weekend were...
You could tell.
Off the charts.
You could tell. Charts.
Yeah. And that's why, like, I really want to be out with people. I really want to, like, go out and be together.
Yeah.
And because I think vibrations are really high right now, and we deserve to be a part of that.
Shot girl summer.
Shot girl summer. To be a part of that.
Yeah. And also, you know, to know when you have a wonderful barbecue, which I had on Memorial Day, all the kids, all the babies in all the pools and dressing up an old dachshund with, you know, all the kids put a bunch of tiny little hats on him, you know, and put little flags in his paw. Okay. after that, you might feel like crying. You might wake up in a blind sweat. And to know that's coming for you, but knowing the next day, don't hang on to it. If you can, just let it go. Because the next day, you're...
Listen, I think you're totally right. Like, we're talking about moment-to-moment work here.
Mm-hmm. Where there's light, there is dark.
What I want for myself is to not judge that, because that's where I get into trouble. So when I woke up with my anxiety, Meatball's trying to get in. Here, babe.
He's already been livid. You know what you said about Meatball, which I fucking love, is you adopted a dog, and we will not say how old because we don't know, and I don't want you to know how old the dog is. I'm going to tell you.
Like, he's, Paul and I constantly try to convince ourselves.
He looks like he's been around the planet a few times, okay? But he is just happy to be at the party. He's
happy to
just
have been invited.
Happy to be invited. If we could all live a day like Meatball.
Yep.
Remember when you all thought Meatball had run out of the house, which makes me laugh so hard because he literally can't run. He just walks so slow, but you couldn't find him. And you were panicked running around. Meatball, where are you, Meatball, right? And where did you find him?
He was in our son's bed in like the lower bunk. And that lower bunk has a little curtain on it. It's actually like the coziest spot in the house. Jessica, I believe he closed that curtain on by himself. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. Well, that's what I love so much about him, is that he brings, I know I'm talking about vibrations being up, but he takes us all. Ooh, does he? It's like having, and this was always my dream for my dad, and this is like, it is like having a grandfather living in your home. To me, intergenerational households where you have young children and elderly together, that's my dream. Because that vibrational setting and balance, I think, is so beautiful. And my dad would sit on a chair and look through mail for hours.
I love that.
You know what I
just
mean?
Just open it. For just
hours,
open it.
Opening like letters, opening magazines, pulling out like the inserts for hours. And with not a care in the world and really nowhere to go. And no sense of urgency. And that's why I loved being around him in the house. And when he would come to visit, he would just be so fine to fucking sit.
Yeah, like my dad every night takes a cigar out onto the screen porch, which actually the playing house set, I recreated that porch. And he sits out there with a cigar and he streams the Phillies. Or sometimes he watches old Kingston Trio video, like performances. Okay. And he sits there every night. And now I can call at like 11 p.m. I can call. He's up. He's out there. Sometimes in the winter, he bundles up.
Wow.
But that he takes that time to really do nothing. And my dad's like such an active person. He does nothing. He just sits there. I love that.
I love that. And that's what I love about Meatball, because he is provided in our home a grandfatherly energy, which
I
is like...
I'm going to say, and I know that'd be really weird, but I wouldn't say that it's not your dad.
Oh, Jessica, I don't think I haven't already gone through this. It is my dad. He is, I'm going to say it right now, I believe Meatball to be a version of my father.
Yeah, yes, either that he's there or that he sent you Meatball. It's just the timing is perfect. And
it's perfect. Yes. And this is what I've always wanted. Like, my dream was for my dad to move in with us and be in our home as a presence that is so grounding. And like Casey said about Meatball the other night, she was here and she's like, he's not just like to say he grounds an energy is wrong. Like, he's in the mud and the dirt that's like 10 feet below. Like, he takes you fucking down. It's okay. Yeah. And I love that, and I need that.
And he likes to have all hands on him. I remember in college, the freshman would take a trip, backpacking trip into the woods. And I actually used to lead it, which is so terrifying because we had to do a first aid training, which I would sleep through.
Jessica, I'm that you are responsible for these children?
12 children. And you know what I would do is people, they would show up and I'd say, hey, listen, guys, I don't know how to use the stove. And I slept through first aid. So I want to know who's got skills. And people would raise their hand. I know how to use the Whisper Light stove. I know how to purify water. Okay. A lot of these people were coming from different rural backgrounds. Okay.
Good.
And we would pool resources. Okay. And I would always make sure.
You were saying right ahead, like, is there a doctor on the flight? Like who?
100%.
Yeah.
Because they would go on and on to say like, hey, like if somebody's femur breaks, like this is how you're going to carry them out. And I would sleep through it. I don't know why. I didn't think if push comes to shove, that ain't going to be my problem, even though it would only be my problem.
But you know what? I'm also imagining being a freshman and showing up to something like that and you like bouncing in with a blonde ponytail and I would and your like charming face. I would be thrilled to have you. So I feel like you were trusting that your personality was going to be enough.
It was going to carry you. And then you're going to hear about another thing I used to do, which, God, in these times, would it be okay? I'd probably have to sign a waiver. But I would do something called an octopus, which is, God, I wish I could get involved in this. After a long day of hiking, we would all live. So if you've ever been hiking on the Appalachian Trail or parts of it, there are these big lean-tos that you can rent and sleep in. And so often it's like, you know, 15 or 12 sleeping bags in a row, like little sardines. Okay. And it gets cold, even if it's August, you know, it gets cold in Vermont. So we're all, you know, bundled up. But what we would do is an octopus was the person who was the octopus, okay, would strip down, not to nothing, but just to, you know, get so that their, you know, their bodies were there. And then we'd all take a body part and massage it. But you ain't felt nothing till you felt, you know, 24 hands on you. And I remember reading that King Kamehameha of Hawaii, that's how he would go to sleep every night. He would have, now these were servants, rubbing him, like 12 of them. And that's how he would fall asleep every night, which sounds really great. But yeah, we would do an octopus and everybody would have a night, you know, and sometimes we would do two octopuses a night. It was the best thing you've ever felt in your life, okay?
I mean, and I am interested.
That was a trust building exercise. Now that's something I brought kind of off label. That wasn't something, you know what I mean?
Sanctioned by the school. Yeah.
No, I don't know where I got it, but God damn it, were we bonded when we would get back, okay? Yeah, some romantic entanglements too.
I can only imagine, especially after octopus.
Because you got to now, test the merch.
Call, like, right.
You got
did
to
you just call it like
merch.
We're going to do octopus?
Yeah, we're going
like,
to do an
time
octopus.
For octopus.
It's time we're for the octopus. And we would all get in there and yeah, and you know, everyone was down to clown for sure. And if you didn't feel comfortable, sure, you could sit out, but not one person said they wanted to sit out. Now, you know, yeah, it was dangerous, I guess, now looking back, right? You know,
absolutely. Absolutely. There's a major question mark.
Not in college.
It sounds like acting school for me. Like we were all lying on each other, massaging each other, going to movement classes where like I was responsible for like lifting other people's pelvises and touching them, you know, and touching sacrums. Like that was acting school.
Oh, there's not enough that of that as far school. As I'm concerned, especially as an adult.
No, I mean, I don't want to sound like Archie Bunker, but I do feel like we've lost a few things.
Yeah.
lost a few things along the way.
Yeah.
Wow. Octopus.
Yeah.
I'm so stunned.
Yeah.
I'm so stunned. Jess.
That was the college I went to. Yeah. And we just had a reunion. Dan had a Zoom reunion. So I was remembering all of those wonderful times. God, if I could only go back and do college again.
I
would have
college.
Sex with so many people.
Know,
oh, God.
I know.
I would have gone nuts if I could just go back. You'd never regret it. I mean, sometimes
honestly,
you do.
You usually don't, though.
Usually
like,
don't.
There were sexual experiences I had that were not great,
yeah.
But I don't regret them.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I because sometimes I think that, and of course I'm talking about like consensual experiences.
Of course.
But like even the bad ones are the ones that were, you know, unfortunate.
Yeah. Weird. Like, ended weirdly.
Ended really weird.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, I remember a guy like literally passing out on me.
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
was like, oh, wow. Like that. This is the moment I find myself.
Yeah.
In, you
yeah.
know what I mean?
Where sometimes like, you can't breathe because you got to wriggle out from under that elephant seal.
Exactly.
You got to wriggle out from under.
For sure. But, and to like move a, you know, a red blooded American male body off of you, like
it takes hard. Something. Also, to know? Not take it personally.
Oh, and I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't.
I did.
You know,
I did. I did, because, you know, I was like, never drinking. I never drank, you know,
wow.
never. Yeah, that's why I was so pissed. After I got cancer, I couldn't, they like, can't drink wine. Can't. I'm like, I just discovered drugs and alcohol. Like, right. and the beauty and the wonder of it all. And now I got to right. take it away.
Now it's being
like,
taken away.
But yeah, I wish that I could have, I wish there was like a woman from, that old woman from the Titanic who could have visited us all, you know, in freshman year and just say, you really aren't going to regret.
You're not. Because honestly, I look back on like that experience and I'm like, as uncomfortable as that was, I guess, in the moment, it also sort of primes you for like you then change your expectations. Like, okay, that's not what I'm looking for.
Right.
You
right.
know what I mean? Like, and so then you can have better experiences and kind of put them up against those bad ones in a different way. So I totally agree. I think if there are young women who are listening, like, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen in these times of post-COVID, but
yeah,
try it on for size. Like, I do believe younger women just, they're not walking in with, although I never had like worries about slut shaming or anything like that. It just wasn't, for me, that was never an issue, but I really do believe like women need so many sexual experiences.
Yeah. And you know, we also came of age, and you're younger than me, as you remind me every fucking day of my life, but we did come of age in the AIDS era.
Yes.
Where it's, so we are a generation of long monogamous relationships,
yes.
you know, rolling one to the other. And so I don't know what it's like now. And I'm kind of interested to see, like, are people back to being able to kind of have more casual relationships to try on different things? Because just like being in a TJ Maxx Home Goods, and it all goes back to this, you might not know what that throw rug looks like until you bring it
until
home.
You get it. Now, I don't
believe. You can always return.
Can you?
You got 90 days. You have 90 days.
See, the other thing I don't like about it, and I think I do want to end here. The other thing I don't like about TJ Maxx is I feel like there's a green sticker saying it's $10.99, and then there's like a purple sticker like frantically put on top of that saying it's like $5.99.
Yeah!
And there's like a yellow.
It's a
on
surprise.
Top of that.
It's a surprise when you get
and
to
then
the
you
register.
Get to check out and they're like, it's 2 cents. And I'm like, great, but wow, this is so chaotic. This is so chaotic to me.
I would and like also, to be more Target, and you should be more TJ Maxx as far
so
as
listen,
I'm concerned.
I think I'm also dealing with is my own childhood shame about not having the right things. Like my own childhood shame about like my dad taking us to Salvation Army for like $20, you know, stuff everything in a bag that you can because
right.
we were not, you know what I mean?
Well, my mom made my jams. Do you remember jams?
What are
they
jams?
They were a floral, see you are, you're at least 4 years. They were a jungle print short and it would say jams on it, like a little label. And my mom was like, I can make you jams.
Oh no.
And she could. The thing was, is she can. She's the most wonderful seamstress, but you don't have that label. And also mine were done in like a blue and white Nautilus, like a gigantic Nautilus print.
No. And
so
and
I didn't
want the thing.
I wanted Esprit and I wanted Benetton
course,
and I only got maybe
I wanted
one.
Keds. I couldn't get them.
I had the knockoff of Keds. I had a knockoff of Chivas because why are you paying?
I
you
took
know,
a, I took a blue marker and like tried to create
the saddest
a Keds.
Thing.
Yeah,
I that's know. Why like
and
baby, I'm
knew.
Just like whatever you want, baby, and yeah, that's why this knew. Is. Can you see this doll?
Is that a Bratz?
No, this is called a Rainbow High doll. No, is it an LOL? It's an LOL, but she's put fishnets on them. She said, don't disturb my dolls. They're going to school. This doll is going to school like this. But talk about slut shaming. You know what I love about this? BB's like, this is a great killer outfit.
That's cool.
Why shouldn't she wear fishnets? No, why shouldn't she wear a corset top to school? Okay.
She looks
great. These heels. She looks great because she likes how she looks.
And that's enough for me. Well, I'm Jessica. I'm glad.
I'll post it. I'll post a picture of her.
Post a picture of her. I'm really glad that we were able to, you know, we've talked about like our signs. We've talked about, you know, who we are in the world. But now we know you're TJ Maxx and I'm Target. I think we always knew it, but it's a distinction that I think is really important. Deep divers, we'd love to know who you are. What's the store that you define yourself with?
It's going to be a couple Michael's craft stores out there.
Of course. And you know, I love them. This is where
there's some overlap.
Find a threat. Yeah, I do love a Michael's.
And so do I. And maybe everybody loves a Michael's.
You know what? I think Michael's is sort of for us all. I think it's the most inclusive store.
All
because you're going
there
specifically to craft. All are welcome. It's like drama club in high school. Like, we'll take y'all.
Or the Unitarian Church. All are welcome at a Michael's. Deep divers, we love you so much. We're going to see you next week with a hot and fresh one. Hot and fresh.
Unfortunately, I just found out that Paul has been sitting outside the door listening the whole time.
What the fuck have you heard?
I'm on a call in my office. That's
well,
all.
Get out just, of
Paul! Why are you? Office. Go get your own friend.
Literally, you have your own setup downstairs.
Paul, get your own friend.
I'm there, at my desk. At my desk in my office.
Oh, I hope you heard us saying we wanted to fuck so many people and that we'll never get that chance again. I hope you.
I'm sure your audience can't hear you because your mic is not even plugged in. Your mic is blocking your face.
People can hear her. People say she's too loud, actually.
Yeah, well, yeah, then that's a Cody call.
Cody, that amazing.
Don't take it out on Cody. Just yell something at Cody. All right, guys. I'm sorry to end this.
Hate to end on that note.
See you next week. So mad.
The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free one-month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support this show is to rate and review. And a huge thank you to Anne Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnneGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more. We'll see you next time.